Hello, everyone. Thanks for downloading the podcast. Just to let you know, we had a few technical difficulties with Jasmine's microphone on this one. There's quite a lot of echo. We've done our best to sort it out, but stick with it because it's well worth it. Thanks again. Hello, and welcome to Batflips and Nerds Season Preview Podcast, the baseball podcast with a British twist. You can find us on @batflips_nerds on Twitter and on Facebook at facebook.com/batflipsandnerds. I'm your host, Tom Pringle. As you may have heard in our recent episodes, there are plenty of other podcasts out there already producing their season previews. They'll probably have more in-depth and with more analysis. Here at Batflips and Nerds, we decided to try and do something a little bit different, inviting British fans of their teams to come onto the podcast and talk about that team. We've got no clever order for this. It's who's available at what time. And so without any further delay, joining me this time to talk all about the San Francisco Giants is Jasmine Baba. How are you, Jasmine?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Excellent, I'm very good. You've just got echoey immediately again.
Oh, for God's sake.
I don't know what settings you've changed, but you've immediately gone echoey. Anyway, we'll give it a go and see what happens. Okay. So you're officially the second bookmaker we've had on this podcast, but you're the first that people will hear. Due to the first person that we recorded, which was Richard Churchill and the Cardinals preview, I completely screwed it up and we got none of the recording, so hopefully we'll get this one.
Oh wow, well that just goes well for my whoever bookmaker I work for, which I probably won't say until later, but I would like to know what bookmaker he works for so I can just trash talk them in the meantime.
Do you know what, yeah, I'm gonna avoid saying it. Purely because I don't know if he would be happy, but let's say it's Bill Mound.
Okay, I got you.
Right, are they that bad?
They're all right. I'm not gonna. I won't do it. I'm too nice. I will let him be. Leave him be.
Okay, that's fair enough. And I asked him exactly the same question. I'll ask you. Who's your hot tip for this season then?
I'll tell you who I don't think it will be. I don't think it will be the Cubs twice in a row.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm gonna put my neck on the line and say, you know what, I don't think they'll do it twice in a row.
That's very interesting. So, obviously they're the clear favourites at the moment. Have you got any particular inside source as to why it's not going to happen?
I think winning any sort of American competition twice in a row can be quite hard, and I think the circumstances that Cubs did it in was quite unique, and I think it will take a lot to do that, pull that off again. It's a marathon, not a sprint, and I think in parts they were lucky to do it last year, just because of this, again, what happened with the Indians. And I don't think they'll get away with it twice.
I think, yeah, that's actually quite an interesting point. The fact that I've never heard anyone actually say they've been lucky, but then what you said about the Indians is very true. The fact they went in there with just a depleted starting rotation, took the Cubs to 3-1 and lost. I mean, if they had a full rotation, you never know. It might have been a completely different story.
Exactly, and I think you'll have a lot stronger competitors from the National Leagues going for the Cubs as well. I think the Mets, like, hopefully, I say hopefully, but for the Mets' case, if Syndergaard stays fit, like, the majority of last season, I think they'll give them a good push for their money, and I think the dark horses might be the Mets.
Hmm, that is a pretty bold shout. I don't know if that's your bold and wild prediction, but I like that. That's a good one. So let's rewind a little bit then, and just what made you a Giants fan then?
Well, I've always been into my sport. I've come from a family of quite sporty siblings and was always into my football. As I grew older, I just got into more and more sport, and in that case I was getting into NFL, and mainly because of the people I was dating at the time. I dated a few Americans and they quickly got me onto the rules of baseball. I was dating someone from San Francisco and managed to luckily have a few months out in San Francisco and North California in general. went to a few Giants games and absolutely fell in love with the sport and fell in love with the team. And I'm an Arsenal fan, and I drew a lot of comparisons from Giants to Arsenal, just the way that they progress their field team into first team players and actually do something with it. And that's what's made me a Giants fan today.
I really like that. I like the fact that you've come up with a almost a genuine reason to start supporting them, the fact that you likened it to Arsenal. I think a lot of guys and girls, to be fair, would be saying that they go across to a city, they visit it and go, oh, it's a great city, I visited a game, and that's it. But the fact you've actually made that connection with your own team is really cool. So is Bruce Bochy the Arsene Wenger of the MLB then?
I would definitely say so, and I think that's one of my biggest comparisons between the two. They both put such trust in their players that even if they don't do so well, they always get a chance into the team. And even though it might not be for the best, they always get that chance and that just to really relish what they can give to the manager and what they can do. And you know what? Sometimes the gamble does pay off. And I think that's one of the main comparisons that I can draw from both of those two teams.
So is Boch under pressure just like Arsene Wenger then?
Probably not. I don't think any, apart from maybe some people in the NFL, I don't think American coaches in general are under any pressure, and that's one of the reasons why I like baseball, because I can watch and not feel so stressed all the time. Yeah. It's such a relaxing sport that I can just sit, watch, and be like, you know what? This is not going to drive me crazy at the end of the day.
And I do find with American sports as well, even if you've got a really terrible record and a terrible history, teams will still hire you. It doesn't matter what you've done, they will still pick you up and make you their head coach.
I know, it's just a brilliant way to be. It's just like, oh, I don't have to worry about this team getting relegated. All I have to worry about is, oh, will they improve a bit? That I really feel for people like Padres and Braves fans. Like, they don't really have much to look forward to sometimes, but they don't have to worry about their team. And in other sports, you really have to worry if you're not winning anything or you're not performing as much. But in baseball, it's just a completely different game. It's just like, I can easily watch this.
Yeah, and a lot of the times, if you do finish bottom, you end up with the first pick. So it's to your benefit to finish last.
Yeah, exactly. And like the Indians showed last year, that pick and where you finish the year before can have just not even show where you're going to be the next year.
Okay then, so how do you watch your baseball then?
I'm going to say that this will be the first year that I'm using the at-bat app. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if I'm ready to commit to that £23 a month yet. So we'll see how we go, because no Giants game so far has been on their app for spring training. So I'm still making that decision for £23 a month. I probably will once the season starts. But in the past, I've used BT Sport and just watched the regular game, like the odd game. But yeah. I have used a gambling firm that streams all their games if you've got some money in your account. So that's how I've been watching it on mobile.
Ah, okay. Is that your gambling firm?
No, it's not actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned about the fact that it's your first year with the at-bat app. Mm-hmm. If folks listening to the podcast haven't heard of it, would be amazing. It's available on iPad and Android and all those other devices. But during spring training, as you said, they don't televise all the games purely because they might not have the cameras there or they might not have the crews there to actually do the television. When it comes to regular season, though, every single game will be available to you. So it doesn't matter whether you want to watch the Giants, you can watch anyone. And there's no blackout restrictions for us in the UK, which is fantastic. Okay, then, so we'll move on to the Giants then. So what happened last season?
Quite a few things, and I want to start with the All-Star break, because before the All-Star break, we were on fire. I don't know what you can say that you'd think after such a long break, you'd come back refreshed and you'd start playing better, but that just wasn't the case for us lot. And it's hard to say what was the case, because there was no such reason for us to suddenly go on such a downfall that we did, where it was becoming uncommon for us to win, and to win well. You had Kasia blowing saves in the last inning, which didn't help. He was one of our best closing pitchers. He wasn't our best closing pitcher, that was the wrong statement, but he had one of the better ERAs of our closers and relievers, and the fact was he would go into the ninth inning with maybe we'd have a one-run lead and he would blow it. And that actually cost us quite a few games, and he was credited with quite a few losses. And that was... I think that really got on people's nerves if you're a Giants fan, because you'd feel worried and you'd see him come on and you'd just think, oh crap, this is gone. But obviously he wasn't the main... I mean, although he was a part of that, there were quite a few things going wrong. We had injuries. We had injuries to Romo. We had injuries to Hunter Pence.
Mm-hmm.
In the postseason, we had injuries to Nunes as well. And with Nunes, across the regular season, we lost some of our kind of really good batting skills. Though we weren't scoring enough in some games. And the batting averages for Matt Duffy before we traded him was... 0.25, around the 0.25s, and luckily we traded him for Nunes, because I don't see how else we would have survived in that kind of space. Even Crawford and even Joe Panic weren't as good as they normally were, and I think that also contributed for us not doing as well as we would have.
Yeah, I think just going through it chronologically, then, like you said, the All-Star break, I mean, baseball is very much defined as two seasons, and the fact that it's pre-All-Star break and post-All-Star break. And as you said, they just collapsed after the All-Star break. As you say, you could come back refreshed, but then it could also knock your flow, and all of a sudden... when you're in a decent flow and you're winning well, to have that break suddenly stops it all. Kasia was just incredible at blowing saves. Reading the Baseball Prospectus Annual this morning, it was talking about the fact that there's evidence that if one guy starts to blow saves, the whole bullpen will go down with him. Mm-hmm. And once the bullpen gets dragged down, that's it. They're just not going to recover. So the pitchers might be good, they might have a great ERA, they might still have the ability, but as soon as it starts to creep in that little bit of doubt, they do all start to tumble. As you said, if they were trailing after the ninth or eighth or ninth inning, they were still losing games. They couldn't get the hits to get into the game. And reverse as well, if they were leading in the ninth, they just couldn't hold on to that lead, and that was a major issue.
That was a major issue as well, but it's also worth noting that we had two pitchers that in one inning conceded 12 or 13 runs in one single inning, and so every fourth or fifth rotation you'd have basically a not really informed pitcher, and I think that was also another thing that had to be addressed. And luckily at the end of the season, you just took a chance with someone like Ty Black, who just completely bosses it against the Dodgers. And I think if those kind of risks were taken earlier, we might have had a better season.
Well, you mentioned about the fact that Boach sticks to his players as well, so yeah. There could have been an element of Boach sticking a little bit too long. Of course, when it came to the postseason, you took down Nurse Syndergaard and the Mets, and Bumgarner continued his great record in wildcard games, but fortunately you ended up meeting the Cubs.
I think it was just gonna be the Cubs' year last year, and even though for a second it looked like the Indians were gonna do it, I just think that it was just gonna be them. And maybe in a if we met them in, if it was our team from 2014, 2012, 2010, with that team, we would have stood a chance. Yeah, we might have beat them, but the team that we had last year just wasn't up to scratch.
Yeah, so even your magic is gone, it's banished. So what's going to happen this year then? What are your thoughts?
Odd year dynasty now. To be fair, with the kind of changes we've made, Huang into going for third base and designated hitter, that kind of just power hitter role, to use him whenever we can, he might have a chance of making that 40-man roster. He just looks so good in spring training, and that's the kind of player we need. Same with Nunes. It was kind of that player that we needed at the time, and we just needed that big hitter to be like, yeah, this is who I am. Blast a home run, help save the team. And I think if we incorporate that more, we might stand more of a chance this year.
Well, Pecota, as you were predicted to do 86 and 76, which isn't a great run total, win total, to be honest. And they do still have you finishing second, but I think just outside the wild card slot. I'm just having a quick look. No, it does put you into the wild card slot, sorry, with the Nationals by the looks of it. And you mentioned about the fact that home runs. I just looked at Pecota and I didn't realise this, but your home runs sort of spread throughout the lineup. There's no one really hitting that. Well, there's Posey, Belt, and Pence are predicted to get 19 home runs. So
yeah,
but there's no one really tipping over that 20 mark. But I suppose if it's spread throughout the team, that's not really a bad thing at all.
Yeah, exactly. I think Brandon Belt led the home runs last year with 17, but the batting averages across the team were a bit lower than you'd expect them. With the thing is, the Hunter Pence had the best batting average, but he was injured, only played 106 games, compared to someone like Brandon Belt who played 156 games. And if they're playing at that consistency, you want them to be in and out around at least, you want just the batting average across the team to be higher, really. And I think that's why Matt Duffy kind of got shafted. It's a bit worrying to see Pagan was the second best batter and he's now a free agent and possibly going to the Nats with that, and who's really going to replace Pagan into that team if he was the most consistent hitter last year? Obviously 87 wins last year, can we improve on that? I think we'll make the wild card, but it are we going to come first in that league compared to the Dodgers?
No, I personally think the Dodgers are too strong. I mean, if it does come down to the wild card, you've still got Bumgarner, who's just incredible, and that rotation's very solid. It's a very good rotation. Can the bullpen hold up, though? Mark Melanson's coming. Can he do it?
I think the bullpen's a lot stronger. We've cleared out a lot of the deadwood. I mean, Sergio Romo wasn't that great. It wasn't that great the year before last. He was better last year, and we've just given him to the Dodgers. So hopefully, if he replicates the form from the year before last, we should be fine. Javier Lopez retired. But then you've got, if George Contos stays fit, we've got Melancon. I think there's no reason why the bullpen can't do it.
Okay then, so have you got an outside player who's not being recognised for his talents? Doesn't have to be Giants, can be in baseball in general.
I only thought about this Giants-wise, and I don't think Gillespie gets enough credit in the team.
Yeah.
I think he made such an amazing catch at the end of last season to make sure that we were going through to the wild card. And I think he's 28 now. He's not the youngest player, but he can come in and do a job, and I just kind of think he gets a bit forgotten sometimes. But are the players other teams? I can't even...
You don't have to, it's not a problem. It's just if you have one like
that. I'm trying to see if I can get one off the top of my head, but I don't think so. I think, yeah, Gillespie for the Giants.
It was a bit of a hero last year, and the Giants always seem to have one guy who's a bit of a nobody who just comes out of nowhere and becomes that hero. So see if he can do it two times running. So what's your one bold and wild prediction for this season?
Would it be too risky for me to say the Giants to win the whole thing?
No, that's your bold and wild prediction. It's wrong.
We're just going to put it out there. It's wrong. I mean, I think my dark horse is for the Mets to win it as well. I think that could go. I think my boldest prediction was at the start. I don't think the Cubs will win it this year. And I don't think, as I work for a bookmakers and I see the odds and I keep on checking the odds for baseball, I don't think Dodgers, I said it last year, Dodgers were probably the third favourite along with the Cubs and I think the Red Sox, and every year that I see the Dodgers near the favourites above the Giants, and they never win it, and I don't think the Dodgers will win it this year either. I think their whole stance of paying big players and getting them in, and I just don't think it will work this time around either.
Well, yeah, as you know, being a bookmaker, the odds are obviously set on how many bets come in, so there's going to be a lot of Dodgers fans that throw money at their team. I actually managed to pick up the Red Sox and the Giants last season at 20-1 to go all the way, and I was quite happy with that in November because the Giants hadn't quite started clearing out their roster at that point. This was November 15, so going into 16. So I was quite happy with that, and then obviously they both turned out to be wrong. out of interest, because I've got one for the NBA, I've got the Field winning the NBA title rather than the Golden State Warriors. Do you know if your bookmakers are doing the Field instead of the Cubs?
I don't think they are.
No, I don't think anyone would, because it's such a long season, anything can happen. Yeah. I think it's too much of a risk, really.
They're not. Along with that, it's also worth saying that last year I saw the same prices for the Giants last year, 20s. I unfortunately didn't get on until they were 16s, which was still a great bet. If you see the Giants over 16s, you might as well take a punt on it, because that's way too high.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with it. I'm not sure I'm going to bet on the Red Sox this season. I think their price is a bit too low for me. I'm hoping they're going to have quite a bad start, and then it'll extend the price a bit, and then I'll jump in. Right then, let's do some silly questions. Mm. So who's going to get the kebab after a night out on this lineup?
This one is for definite George Contos. He's probably the only one who knows what a proper kebab is. I'm half Greek Cypriot. I see the Greek hunger in his eyes and his beard. He wants the meat. He wants the kebab. He will go for that kebab. And that's
he wants the chef talia. He wants that halloumi. He's desperate.
He's not sharing that kebab with anyone. He is on the bullpen with a kebab. Contos, if you're listening, eat a kebab in the bullpen and you'll have a fan for life.
Maybe you should send him one. Just send him a frozen one and see if he eats it.
I really don't want to send stuff to California, just any of America. I really don't want to be traced back to trying to send us like things that shouldn't go over the border right now.
Well, nothing should go over the border. No. But let's not get into politics just yet. so who claimed not to have any cash during the taxi ride home then?
I'm going to say Johnny Cueto.
Interesting. Go on.
He just looks like a man who's just going to have a joke and a laugh all the time when on a boys' night out, and just be like, I don't have any cash on me. Will you please get this fare for me? And then just disappear into the night.
I probably would have said Jeff Samardzija. I think he looks a bit trampy when he's strolling around. So I think I would put my money on Jeff. So who's going to avoid the night out and stay in to watch the Great British Bake Off then?
Okay, I have two and I can't pick between the two. It's either Joe Panic, because if you look on his Instagram and his Facebook, he just looks like he has the perfect life. Like, oh, I have my wife and we stay in and make cookies and I'm a good boy. Or Brandon Crawford, who looks kind of the same. He looks like he ties his hair up into a man bun and does the baking in the household.
See, he strikes me as a man who would tie his hair up into a man bun, go down and just smoke on the beach and relax.
He's got too much of a soft face to look like he'd smoke.
Who's got the softest face on the Giants then?
I think it's Crawford. Even though he has the beard, he just looks like he's got a really lovely face. Him or Brandon Bell, one of the Brandons.
I mean, this is what people are tuning into this podcast for, to find out who's got the softest face. That's what they want.
The Giants players should listen and tell me what moisturiser they use, and then I can tell.
I think it's California Sun. That's all it is.
Then it's definitely Crawford. He's a California native, if I've got that right. Hopefully,
You're a Mediterranean girl. Surely you live on olive oil. That is it.
Yeah, that vitamin E for my olives is all I need. Crawford looks like he uses olive oil in his hair once a week. I can spot that from a mile away.
Yeah, pretty disgusting. And Clay Buchholz used to do it as well for the Red Sox. Oh. Right, and who's the Alan Partridge nutcase who's going to drive barefoot to Dundee?
Mad bum.
Oh, yeah.
Mad bum.
There's no doubt, is there?
There's no doubt. He's a southern guy. He probably drives barefoot just to go out of state.
It was the ring ceremony, he turned up on a horse, didn't he?
Yeah.
Spring training, he turned up on a horse, which is just like, what are you doing? Come on.
The people from the south, he obviously came from a town from the middle of nowhere, and that's what they do. I'm surprised what he knows what a car is.
Right then, can you recommend any Twitter accounts, blogs, beat writers that you enjoy?
If they're all pretty mainstream, but honestly, I don't know how I'd live without them. First one is Chris Haft. You can find him on Twitter at SFGiantsBeat. He's a great writer, really in-depth, without being overloading. Second, Alex Pavlovich. You can find him at Twitter at Alex Pavlovich. And the spelling of his last name is Pavlovic. He's again covers everything, not too in depth. On Twitter he just gives obviously short statements that just gets you involved, knows what's up. And obviously Andrew Bagley, and you can find him on Twitter at Extra Bags. He's one of the greatest probably baseball writers along with Buster Olney, and if you're looking for a kind of West Coast Buster Olney, that's the man you want to go and follow.
Excellent. There's some very good ones there. To be honest, I don't follow any of them, so I'll get following those. Grant Brisby is the one for me, who writes for McCovey Chronicles on SB Nation. He's excellent. So if you want to start reading his stuff, because he writes some very funny articles if you don't read that at the moment. Okay, so thank you all for joining us for this episode of Batflips and Nerds. I'd like to thank Jasmine for joining me. Where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter, and that's __BABA. You'll find me straight away.
I've been your host, Tom Pringle, and you can find me on Twitter at Pedroia's Face. That's the second baseman for the Boston Red Sox. And you can contact the show on Twitter at Batflips_Nerds. On Facebook, facebook.com/Batflips and Nerds. And you'll also find details about our blog there. You can email us on batflipsnerds@gmail.com. You can subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search for Batflips and Nerds. Please do give us a rating, as it does make it easy for folk to find our little podcast. Also, tell your baseball friends about us. Doesn't matter if they aren't British, we welcome all sorts. So once again, thanks for listening and goodbye.